Welcome everyone to Phone Show Chat 419, recording this on Saturday the 4th of November 2017. I'm Steve Litchfield for the Phone Show, with me my regular co-host up in the north of Wales, Ted Salmon.
Hello there, greetings everyone, hello.
And with us, our first timer on Phone Show Chat, although you may recognise his voice if you listen to other podcasts such as AAWP, it's Anthony Fear. Hi there.
Hi Steve, hi Ted. Thanks very much for having me.
Yeah, and just remind people who haven't heard you before on other podcasts, whereabouts are you in the world?
I am right on the east coast of Canada in Nova Scotia.
And how is the weather in Canada today?
Oh, it's a brisk 11 degrees outside.
Well, that's about the same as here.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
And how long have you been over there?
So current place about 10 years, I think.
Yes.
Well, yeah, yeah, 10 years this year.
Well, you haven't acquired a Canadian accent yet. That's good.
No, I don't think my lovely Welsh accent's going anywhere.
enough of Wales. A few reminders of show notes. SteveLitchfield.com, you'll find those. Also, tinyurl.com/PS promo if you can support the Phone Show video podcast and this PSC with the virtual pint of beer a month club. That would be great. And we'll put all the links to stuff we chat about in the show notes. On Twitter, I am at Steve Litchfield. Ted is just tedsalmon.com. You'll find links there. Anthony, where can people find you online?
So on Twitter, you can find me at Anthony Fear.
Lovely. Okay. Well, this is where other major podcasts also slip in some kind of pre-roll, horribly off topic about razors or mortgages or mattresses, some sort of advert. All I can say is Ian Maxfield's putting money into the beer fund as well. Anything to do with phone repairs or servicing, give him a try. imaxrepairs.co.uk. He's the person to contact. Now, Ted, we have all sorts of news and smartphone related this week. We can't really cover everything, but where do you want to start?
Well, a couple of Nokia things. I was just shocked to see that the Nokia 2 came out. You would have seen this. And I can't believe that they've released a Nokia device which is running Oreo, so Android 8, with 1 gig of RAM, a Snapdragon 212, 8 gigs of storage, and then trying to pretty it up by putting a 4,100 mAh battery in it and charging £99. I just can't see who on earth is going to buy this. Presumably you saw this go through, Steve. It just seems a nonsense, no?
It seems like a return to the disease Nokia had about 10 years ago, where they would, just to try and cut costs, they would underspecify phones horribly. Or in their case, they were underspecifying flagships horribly, the most famous example being the Nokia N97. But in this case, at least it is a budget phone. I do agree with you. I think Google have said in the past you need 2 gigabytes of RAM to run Oreo properly. Mm. So I do fear how this is going to run. I wouldn't touch it with a barge pole, I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. But people will be much better looking at Moto or Wiley Fox or something. Anyway, we'll see how it goes. Keith BBB spots the Nokia 8 being dropped £100 at Carphone Warehouse. So you can now get that for £399, which is much, much better price than the £499 it has been up to now. So if anyone wants a Nokia 8, then that's the place to go for it at the moment. Now, the HTC, we mentioned the HTC announcement last week, and they've announced that the U11 Plus and the U11 Lite, two new devices. I don't know if we want to kind of maybe take a spell on the next show and go through those and have a look, because I also wanted to mention the more exciting thing, which is the next bit, Robin's cousin.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah,
which is the Razer.
Yeah, we'll leave the HTCs till next week, because I want to get on to the Razer as well.
The Razer phone just sounds much more interesting, because it's a 5.7-inch device, which looks, for all the features on it, exactly like a Nexbit Robin, which is not surprising, as the Nexbit Robin was bought out by Razer. But this has got a really interesting set of speakers on it, and we've yet to hear them, of course, and there's all sorts of claims about speakers that have gone on, but this is apparently the speakers to kill everything else off. The Dolby Atmos stereo speakers, THX certified amplifiers in each one separately, nice big spacious space at top and bottom to actually pump out the sound. I don't know, maybe it's time we were kind of excited.
What does THX certified actually mean? Anyone know? Tumbleweed. I mean, I've seen THX in the context of George Lucas and the Star Wars films, but I'm assuming it's some kind of certification about EQ and dynamic range and so forth. The thing, Ted, I mean, you hinted it there, really. We've seen so many phones come along and say they've got the loudest speakers in the world, and then we compare them to the King. the old Marshall London, and we find that they're lacking. Having said that, this looks for the first time like it could actually be a serious, serious challenger. And hooray that we then have something cutting edge, you know, a cutting edge chipset with those speakers. So if this had a headphone jack, I would have bought it and pre-ordered it on moment one. Yeah. As it is, I'm still thinking about it, but just hesitating slightly.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also got a 4,000 milliamp hour battery, side-mounted fingerprint sensor, which is really not, I just don't think that's where it should be. That's where it was on the next bit, Robin, of course, and I never liked that. USB-C, 64 gigs storage, 8 gigs of RAM, Snapdragon 835, and coming with Nougat out of the box. So we shall see a 16:9 screen, aluminium body, which is certainly different to the next bit, Robin, because that was all plastic. Very nice plastic, but it was just the plastic. Anyway, we'll see. We'll keep an eye on that. There's nothing kind of happening tomorrow about it. We're not going to get our hands on it that quickly. It's just been announced, really. So as soon as we can, we'll definitely get hold of one and have a look. So, yes, we'll come back to the HTC stuff next week, shall we?
Yeah, the Razer PR people, they are talking to me, so maybe I can get something before retail availability. Maybe I can get a loan, Ted, in which case I'm sure I will include you so you can try out all this audio goodness as well.
Well, it'd be great to hear it, wouldn't it, and to continue the quest.
Absolutely. Well, I've been continuing the quest on multiple devices here, trying out, because, of course, both the Pixel 2 XL is in for review. Also, the iPhone X is in for review, both of which with front-mounted stereo speakers. And I don't want to harp on about this too much, but just to give you a sneak preview, they're both pretty decent. Not quite London category, but they're both eminently good enough. Think sort of Nexus 6, Nexus 6P, the best of the Sony Xperia stereo speakers. So, you know, there's nothing shabby about them. And I suspect I'll be doing speaker testing up until Christmas at this rate, Ted.
Excellent. Well, if we can get some other stuff in to test against that, then super duper. That's about it for the community. Don't forget to head across there if you're not already involved, everyone, and chip in and let us know what you're using and what you're having fun with.
Okay, well, I'll just briefly mention, as I mentioned the iPhone X there, to say that the next Phone Show 322, we'll have, rather than doing an iPhone X review or a Pixel 2 XL review, which I'm sure lots of other people have tried across the net on YouTube and online and in terms of text form, I'm going to try something different. I'm going to do a head-to-head shootout, X against X, as in XL, the 2 XL versus iPhone X stroke iPhone X. So phone against phone, looking at particular features, particular functionality, and try see if I can work out a winner. Sneak preview, it's really tough to tell, Ted. They're both futuristic, but they're both flawed, and you'll have to wait for Phone Show 322 to find out what all the flaws may or may not be. But generally, I'm very impressed. The downside, as people will know, is that they're both quite pricey. The Pixel 2 XL, the one I'm looking at, the 64GB version, which is £800, and the iPhone X, I've got here, is £999, so £200 more. That's £1,800 a smartphone in my pockets, and that gives me somewhat cause for concern when I'm out and about, you know, jogging along or walking along. I must not drop either of these two phones. I'll be out of fortune. So I'm sorry to harp on about money, but you really have to take care of your smartphones when they're that valuable.
You don't need to spend that much. It's silly, isn't it? It's absolutely ludicrous, which I'll come to in my device week a bit later, hopefully.
I did put a tweet up just now. I don't know whether either of you guys saw it. My nephew was here with his Nexus 6, or your old Nexus 6, Ted, which you sold to me, which then I then sold to him. It's a 2014 device, so it's 3 years old, 6-inch screen, QHD AMOLED, wireless charging, front-mounted stereo speakers, the works, and that side-to-side with the Pixel 2 XL. And, you know, just side-by-side, you think they were kindred spirits, sisters of devices. There's not that much to choose between them. One is 3 years older and 8 times cheaper, if you can pick them up now for about £100 second-hand, which is just gives you food for thought, doesn't it, Ted? If you want something that's stockish, Nexus-ish, and with a headphone jack, by the way, there's some very good bargains out there. Nexus 6, Nexus 6P, and you can get most of what the Pixels do for an awful lot less money.
And also the Pixel. Don't forget the Pixel. I'm sitting on a 5-inch Pixel device here, and it's absolutely fine. As I said last week, I think there's no reason at all for me to consider spending a ton of money on a new one. The Pixel's just fine.
Yeah. Well, enough of that. Well, let's move on with our special guest, Anthony Fear. So let's just start off with a bit of an overview. People may have heard you on the All About Windows Phone podcast, where you've chipped in two or three times because you're a bit of a Lumia fan on the side. Mm-hmm. But you do have experience with other platforms as well, I know. So maybe just take us through something of your smartphone history. What was the very first sort of phone you'd consider a smartphone?
Gosh, a smartphone. So probably going back to my time in the UK, I picked up some phones from O2 and Orange that were running Windows. Was it called Windows Mobile back then as
it
well?
It was, yeah, Windows Mobile, yeah.
With a stylus and a slide-out keyboard. So that I guess would probably be one of my first, in quote, smartphone devices. Okay. And I remain pretty loyal to the Microsoft devices until iPhone 3. iPhone 3GS.
Yeah, 2009, that would be, I guess, yeah.
Yeah. So, and then I was pretty loyal to Apple, although I would tinker with the dark side of Android through iPhone 5. And then kind of, I think I got a bit bored with iOS devices, and I've been pretty much Lumia or Android device ever since.
Okay, and your current Lumia devices?
So current Lumia devices, so if I just take a quick glimpse to my left there, I've got a 950 XL and the Idol 4S, or Idol Pro, sitting on the desk. But I would go 1520, 1020, 650, 640, 640 XL. Yeah, I've got quite the collection of Lumias.
Yeah, and which is the Android phone you've got currently?
And so the Android phone that I actually two right now, so my daily driver was a BlackBerry Key One. Up until this morning, actually, when I went out and picked up the Essential phone.
I like the fact you only picked it up this morning, and you were struggling to remember the name.
It was all those Lumias confusing me. So the price drop finally hit here in Canada, and so we're talking about it's $600 right now from one carrier, and I saw it in the store there, picked it up, and it's gorgeous. And so I know it's had a bit of controversy, but at the new price, I couldn't help myself and had to try it out.
So the Essential phone is famous for being one of the first, mainstream Western, but truly bezel-less, at least on three-side smartphones. It's also famous, controversial for having the first to have a notch cut into the display. And yes. It's also, of course, one of the current devices to not have a headphone jack. So what's your first impressions then, sort of for 18 hours with an Essential phone?
Yeah, so honestly, I'm blown away by how beautiful the device is. I know there's some fuss around the material, so it's titanium around the edge, it's ceramic on the back. I don't care about that necessarily, but the screen is gorgeous, and the feel in the hand is it feels like a really premium device. So overall, I'm really impressed. The camera is. There's been a whole bunch of updates since I took it out of the box, but the camera is not outstanding in any way. It's certainly not keeping up with the flagships from Samsung or from Google, but it's perfectly adequate, I would say. Certainly not up to Lumia standards, but I've got the Lumia to fall back on if I really do want to go out and take pictures. I'm not a big picture taker on a day-to-day basis. I'm more interested in the productivity of the device, and I can see this becoming a permanent addition to my collection. I need a bit more time to confirm that, but that's certainly the way I feel right now.
Is the reason you don't take many photos because everything's covered in snow all the time?
Yeah, well, that will be true in a couple of weeks, I'm sure.
Yep. Have you been seeing some of my Lumia 950 XL versus device A, device B, device C shootouts over on AWP?
Absolutely. I follow them. I follow them with keen interest.
I get a lot of stick for saying, oh, Steve, you're going to make the Lumia win again. But it's not. I'm not making the Lumia win. It just takes better photos. In terms of raw image quality, it just takes better photos. I'm actually longing. I'm looking forward to the day when I can put up an article and say, right, this finally proof I'm not biased. We have a device with a camera that can beat the Lumias. The iPhone 10 may be that device. I've been very impressed so far. You know, the dual cameras, both stabilized, large aperture, massive image processor. There's an awful lot to like about the imaging on this. So I guess that will be something for Monday or Tuesday in a couple of days' time.
Okay, really, and more so that device than the Pixel.
The Pixel 2, I've done two shootouts that, one with the regular sized and one with the XL size, and neither have blown me away. It's got a great camera. It's just mm-hmm. not the best. I don't think it's the best in the world, and I completely disagree with DxOMark. It's fast. It's flexible. It's got there's that extra chip inside the Pixels which they've yet to turn on, and maybe when they turn that on, maybe it will finally fulfill its potential. But ultimately, I think physics does tend to win. I know a great image processing system does help an awful lot, but ultimately the iPhone has excellent optics, and of course two of them. The Lumia has superb optics, and that's partly where it keeps winning these blessed tests. The Pixel has average optics, but great image processor. So watch this space, but I think the iPhone 10 could run that 950XL pretty close.
Interesting. Okay.
But not the essential phone. I have seen some of the camera shootouts it's been doing, and they have been very disappointing. It looks like they did cheap out slightly in terms of specifying the optics.
Yeah, but what I did, something that I'd seen online, was to download the Pixel camera app and then sideload that onto the essential. And just from the couple of samples that I've done, the processing does appear to quite dramatically improve the image quality, which is interesting to say the least. I mean, it goes to show, I guess, that it's not just optics, that there is an awful lot that Google's doing post-process.
We're not saying you're a geek, but you've only had a phone for less than a day, and already you're side-loading APKs onto it.
Oh, of course, the first thing you do, change the launcher, load all the Microsoft apps, completely change the device,
Yeah, talking about ceramic is interesting, though. I mean, Ted and I were always huge fans of ceramic as a material. You mentioned it there almost as if it was a negative, and I know there's a reputation that if you drop it, it might be more prone to shattering. But Ted, you wasn't it one of the which device had the ceramic, the small device had the ceramic back?
The OnePlus X, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was lovely,
and it was absolutely gorgeous. It was just so nice. You just didn't want to put a case on it because it was so nice.
Did it scratch, Ted? Because that's some of the things that I've heard about the ceramic, is that it did scratch.
Oh, no idea. I had a case on it. I said I didn't want to put a case on it. Okay. There's no way that I was not going to.
Anyway.
No, I don't know. I'm sorry. But certainly, you know, you felt as though you didn't want to almost touch it. You just wanted to look at it. It's so nice. But you're not bowled over by that then?
Oh, no, it's not that. It's just that it that wasn't an appeal for me. It was really more about does the device feel nice? Does it feel quality build? You know, that was for me. That was one of the big disappointments with when the Lumia 950 and the XL came out, was they just felt so darn flimsy. So, you know, when I had a chance to pick up the Essential, and I actually got to compare it against the Pixel 2 XL. And it just felt so much nicer in the hand that was the device I went for.
So you paid $499?
With Canadian exchange rate, it comes out at $620.
Right, okay.
So, but that is the new price. That was down from $1,050 just a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
I have no idea what Canadian dollars are worth. I guess I should be able to work it out from what you've just said.
Well,
the essential
website today are selling in dollars $499 US for the device. So that's the kind of pitch at the moment.
Yeah, I mentioned that the Essential phone had this notch cut out of the display for the front-facing camera. And, of course, I've been using this iPhone 10 with a much larger notch, but same similar sort of idea. I have to say, Anthony, I don't know whether you find it the same on the Essential phone, but I thought I'd absolutely hate the big notch on the iPhone 10 and the horns of the display reaching up either side. In fact, I don't hate it. I don't think Apple have done everything they could with it. Essential, from what I've seen, seem to have done a much better job of hiding it by using it as part of the status bar.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I guess I'm a sucker for slightly unusual phones. Actually, the notch is part of the appeal of the whole device for me. Yeah, but it doesn't bother me in use at all. In fact, I quite like it.
Yeah, the The thing I don't like about the Apple iPhone X is it kind of related to that, and because they've gone full screen, and which necessitating the notch, the other end of the phone, that means they've taken away the home button, which means that in order to do a home, you've got to swipe up from the bottom of the screen with a gesture. Now, this they're absolutely fine. Think, okay, well, I remember to go home, I swipe up from the bottom. But no, they completely noddy everyone by putting a, taking away 5% of the screen real estate at the bottom of the screen and putting in a little, a big bar saying, this is where you swipe up from. And it's just on screen nearly all the time in all applications. And when you rotate the phone to landscape, you still get that at the bottom of the landscape screen, taking away some absolutely vital screen estate, real estate from whatever game or app you tend to be running. So it's a nonsense. Apple absolutely needs to remove that, and I'm going to rant about this more on, I think, in Phone Show 322. But Essential, presumably, has got just virtual navigation controls, and they get out of the way when they need to.
They do, absolutely, yes. Yep.
Anyway, so you're the very first guest on this show with the Essential phone, so that's interesting. What are you looking forward to over the next or 6 months or so? The fact that you've gone through so many phones in the last couple of months, I'm guessing your wallet is probably drained by now, but what are you particularly looking forward to in the mobile world?
So the Razer phone that you mentioned earlier, the appeal for that is not necessarily the gaming, because I'm not a heavy mobile gamer, but is the refresh rate, 120 hertz refresh, and that, as I understand anyway, makes even just regular Android seem a lot more fluid and a lot more smooth. So that'll be interesting to see how it's accepted on the Razer device, and then whether it makes its way to others.
It would be interesting to know, Ted, whether there's some kind of software test that can test our eyes to find out what refresh rates our eyes can detect. Now, I know if you look at a cinema screen, wouldn't they use usually 24 frames per second, something like that? And then you had other computer monitors were 30 frames a second. And then in the more recent years, you've had 60 frames a second on computer monitors. But do you think, Ted, either of us could probably tell the difference between 60 and 120?
No, I don't. But I think Anthony's right. They're talking about this 120 as being something quite special. And what we've got is a history now of things not being so fluid visually as they are on iOS. And, you know, when you talk about apps particularly, things that are specifically designed to run on the platform, you know, there is a history. We know, you and I both know, Steve, that when you get an iPad or an iPhone or something iOS and you download the same application, the same game, it just there's something special about it looking better and more fluid and better, just better all round on the iOS devices. Now, if they're going to bring things up to that kind of level with doing something with the screen like this, then great. I'm all for it. But I'm not convinced that beyond that people's human eyes can tell the difference now.
So, Anthony, when you're out and about, just literally just you and the family and one phone in your pocket, which phone do you take? Do you take it? I guess it's the Essential phone now, but it has been the Lumia in the past weeks.
So, no, you know, the BlackBerry has probably been in my pocket the most frequently.
Okay.
Yep. But you know, I do find myself on a regular basis going back to the 950 XL. You know, there's no screen burn. There's no notches. There's wireless charging. There's a great camera. And, you know, I struggle sometimes to find fault with this device, especially with a Mozo case on the back. And I don't know, is it 2-3 years old now, this device? How it wasn't more successful still dumbfounds me, because it's still a great device.
Yeah, part of the problem there, Microsoft just not marketing it or promoting it. Also, partly they priced it wrong, as many companies tend to do. I mean, the likes of Samsung and Apple can get away with it because they're producing, you quote, premium devices and premium materials. But for Microsoft to price a, quote, plastic backed phone at £550 in the UK for the 950 XL. I don't know where that is, where you are in Canada, but it was an awful lot of money. And within sort of 6-7 months, it had dropped by £200, back down to the price it should have been in the first place. So I think it was just a comedy of errors, and Microsoft sort of retrenching and going away from the Windows 10 Mobile as it currently is. And I mean, it's still being updated, you know that as well as I do, and on the AAWP listenership. So it's not totally abandoned, but Microsoft haven't made a Lumia for over a year now, and there's no sign of them coming back into the game, which is all a bit sad.
Indeed.
Yeah. Anyway, Anthony, we always ask our guests their kind of take on some of the more controversial aspects in the smartphone world. Let's start with an easy one. Qi wireless charging, you a fan?
I am. If you've used it and gotten used to it, then living without wireless charging is a pain.
Does the Essential phone have it?
It does not, no.
And neither did the Key One, yeah.
No, neither did the Key One, that's right, yeah. Despite the ceramic back, which you would assume wireless could transmit through, it does not.
That's a disappointment. The Apple iPhone, of course, famously doesn't have a home button. It doesn't even have a fingerprint sensor. So, I mean, you've had phones on the Lumias with the iris recognition. You've tried presumably the Samsung's version of that and their own Face ID. You've tried all the different fingerprint sensors. How would you like to authenticate with your smartphone? Where should the sensor be?
Oh, it should be a fingerprint and it should be on the front.
Ah, controversial. Controversial. Is that where it is on the Essential?
I know it's on the back on the Essential.
So everything I throw at you on the Essential is wrong, and yet you still bought it. I'm still liking it.
I do. Well, you know, you've got to mix it up from time to time.
Yeah. All right. And that's something else. 3.5mm jack, yes or no?
Don't care.
Okay. Explain. Explain.
So, well, I rarely listen to podcasts or use my phone as an audio device without some kind of wireless speaker system.
Okay.
So I don't miss the 3.5mm jack, and I'm not bothered about dongles because I don't carry headphones with me.
Yeah. Our good friend James Honeyball made the very good point. The Google USB-C to 3.5mm dongle they ship with the Pixel 2 devices has actually got quite a good DAC in. I tried it with him, and we're actually quite impressed. And they're only, I think he said it was $9 in American money, so I guess that's probably £9 or £10 over here. At which price, Ted, I know I'm still a fan of a 3.5mm jack, but if the conversion from USB-C is high enough quality and only £10 a time, I think I can afford to buy two or three of them and sprinkle them around my house and car. So, you know, if this trend carries on, maybe I can be convinced. I'm not a total Luddite.
Yeah, I think that we've got to accept it, really. And I thought we were going to have to accept USB-C, but just in time for that, everyone's going back to wireless charging again. I can't believe that. It's a complete U-turn.
Nothing ever stays the same, does it? Which is good, really, because it gives us stuff to chat about.
Indeed, yeah.
Let's move on with what Ted's been up to. Anthony, do stick around, obviously, and just interrupt willy-nilly, and we'll leave room for you and may throw questions over to you as we go, if that's okay?
Yeah, great. Thanks very much.
Well, hopefully I'll be able to get Anthony to chip in with my main thrust of the week this week, which is the BlackBerry Key One, because I can't now leave it alone. It's really strange. Now, I know that you're living in Canada and maybe the Key One and BlackBerry devices are still being pushed over there, but I just can't seem to leave it alone. Once I decided about 2.5 weeks ago to make it my main device, stick with it, learn to use it, learn the keyboard, I just love it. And I look at the other devices around me and I think to myself, this is so unique, it's so amazing. The battery, I was testing the battery I mentioned on last week's show, it's just stunning. The amount of hours and days almost you get out of the battery. And I'm just amazed with it. Did you not find that, Anthony?
Absolutely, I did. It's an awesome device. It really is. And for me, this is my first BlackBerry device ever and my first keyboard device, I mean, apart from going back many, many moons. And that was the appeal. The only thing for me that I found with the Key One is the antennas, I think. It seems to struggle with signal where other devices don't. And the Bluetooth connectivity is beyond frustrating. So for me, my typical daily commute, jump in the truck, drive to work, I throw my device into my cup holder and it connects through Bluetooth and continues playing whatever I was listening to in the house. But with the Key One, and it's become almost comical now, it even drives my wife crazy if she jumps in the car with me, it'll try to connect to Bluetooth and then it'll sort of flick back and forth between this play on the car stereo, play on the loudspeaker, play on the, and it goes back, and it does this everywhere on every Bluetooth device, and no other handset does that, and it's just one of those things that I just can't live with anymore. It's driving me crazy.
Okay. Now, I have to say that I've been using the Bluetooth because I've been having Bluetooth problems with the Moto Z particularly, and so I was pleased that my key one here has not been doing that kind of thing. Now, I'm not jumping in and out of cars and connecting to all sorts of different, you know, my connection is mainly to do with Bluetooth speakers in the house, or, you know, bedside radio, or, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So nothing to do with cars, but I've been quite pleased. And also, what you say about connectivity, again, I've been quite pleased. So I don't know if that's something about the UK cellular network or the Wi-Fi. It switches between Wi-Fi hotspots quite nicely when I go out and about down to the coffee shop, or there's two Wi-Fi hotspots where I'm staying at the moment, and it switches seamlessly between those. I never have a problem. I've also got my MiFi, my dongle, and when I come into range of that, it switches to that when I want it to. So I'm actually quite surprised to hear that, and it's a shame for you.
Yeah, and I've certainly been on to BlackBerry support. It is does appear, at least here, to be a common issue, but not on every device. Out of curiosity, Ted, did you get the original silver, or do you have the black? Because I believe there are slight differences in those models.
Well, don't tell anyone. I'll keep it to yourself, but I bought the black one this week.
Ooh.
I've got to. I mean, it was an outrageous purchase because it was full price, and I've really got to sell the silver one now, because I always wanted the black one, and Steve will know, as soon as I got the first silver one, I just wanted a black one, and they didn't have one at the time. And now I've just been so tempted. I put it on a on a never never, and I shall have to raise the funds to pay for it. But anyway, no, in answer to your question, no, I don't. I don't notice any functional differences between the silver one and the black one. They both seem to perform absolutely fine in respect to the things that we were just talking about. I also don't notice any difference with it having 4 gigs of RAM. I don't think that that's significant. What is significant is that it looks just so much nicer. It's so much more attractive, as I knew it would be. You don't want a case on it, because it just looks and feels so lovely in the hand, and the black is so rich and black, and it's just really, really nice. And it's complete madness to have done this, but I, as I say, I'll raise the funds elsewhere to pay for it. I'm hoping that there's not going to be a BlackBerry Key 2 just around the corner. I'm going to kick myself stuck with two Key 1s.
You do know that revealing the secret of buying that to all, whatever it is, tens of thousands of PSE listeners is probably not much of a secret anymore.
Yes, I know. I'm kicking myself, really, because I shouldn't have spent the money which I haven't got, and I really need to raise the funds to pay for it. But anyway, that's my problem, not anyone else's. I'm really pleased I did it, and I wouldn't have done it except the things that I just said, that I've got so used to it. And I can't see myself using any other device now. The unique selling point of the keyboard is you get so used to it, so it's so lovely to use it. It's almost nostalgic. And I'll link to a post this week that I put on about in Google Plus about boring slabs. And I was running through some of the devices that I've got and listing why I've got them and why they don't qualify as boring slabs. And very quickly, I won't go into each one in detail, but the Moto Z, because of the Moto mods, makes it not boring. It's got lots and lots of interesting things around it. The Key One, because of the things just mentioned, particularly that lovely keyboard, which you really need to get used to before you dismiss it, because time is, and also to slow down, which is what you said in your review, Steve, you've got to learn to slow down. The LG G6, because of the wide angle camera on the back, that's an absolute killer feature, and I don't understand why other devices are not doing that. Even brand new devices coming out right now are not doing that. I think it's a mistake. Everyone should be moving towards that. The Marshall London, as we've already said on this show and every other show for the last 3 years, because of the wonderful speakers. And also, I mention also for the Yotaphone 3, which Tim Evans was linking to and talking about this week, again, which is coming. And, you know, it's going to be this interesting, again, reading slab on the back of it, which you can turn around and save your battery, but turn it into a mini Kindle. I just think my post was all about not having boring slabs and focusing in and using devices that are really nice for unique features. But we quite often talk about that, don't we, Steve?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm a firm believer in going for USBs along with yourself. And hopefully my collection has enough that's interesting. Every time I bring out an old phone on camera or chat about it or even show someone in person if they're at my place, they're always amazed by some of the oddities. And it sounds like, Anthony, that with your Windows Mobile heritage, maybe you've got a few of those sort of swivel-screened oddities from 10 years ago still?
I do, yes. Yeah, I really... get rid of a device, as you can probably tell from the collection. But yes, I do, absolutely. Certainly the slide-out ones, yeah.
Yeah, I think some photographs on Twitter or something might be of interest, and I'd love to see a couple of the classics. Guess napping.
Absolutely, yeah. No, good idea.
Well, just before we leave my device week, Steve, I mentioned that I've started taking photographs in the square format, and oh. I'm really liking it. It works really well with the BlackBerry. Anthony, I know you said you didn't take many photographs, but it's actually quite nice to not care what way round your phone is, and it just works. Yeah. You can use the space key as a shutter button as well. The whole thing just works in square, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. The key one is surprisingly good camera. I've been pleased with it. It is a little weird to get used to the square format, though.
But apparently it's the same unit or optics that's in the Pixel, but I don't see it getting as much kudos. Steve?
I believe that the BlackBerry have always done a better job on cameras than they've got credit for, and this started with probably the Q10, which I had way back, four years ago now, with running BlackBerry OS 10.
Yeah.
And I was quite pleased with the camera on that. The Passport Ditto probably had the same unit as well. And these recent BlackBerries with the sort of Pixel sensor, yes, it hasn't got the full multi-exposure of Google image processing there, but it's basically a decent enough camera and eminently good enough for 99% of things that you and I would probably snap in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm into the square now.
I guess you're
to be square.
It makes you think about composition a bit as well, and this takes me back to my days of using film cameras. It makes you think about composition if you've got to compose in a square frame and not kind of just do whatever you want with oblongs. It shifts your thinking.
I guess it would resolve the problem I often have when I come across something that's basically a vertical, but I thought, well, I can't shoot in vertical in portrait, because then it just does not come across well on the likes of Twitter and social networks, and doesn't come across well on computer monitors. So I just always think, okay, I'll compromise my layout, compromise my composition, and go in landscape and just accept this stuff either side. But I guess if it was square, then I would be just happy. Everything would be square anyway, and I'd frame it so that it fitted in a square and be done. Might be a lot easier for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And it certainly works with social media on phones. So if people are viewing it on phones, it's absolutely fine. If people are viewing it on desktop computers or laptop, screens in the kind of landscape format, then okay, yes, it's going to have space each side, but it does mean you can use your phone either way around. It doesn't matter. And as I say, the killer bit for me is using that space button as the shutter button. That's really good.
Okay, is that it for your device section?
Yes, it is.
Absolutely. Okay, well, just to mention that the phone show 319 had my review of the iPhone 8 Plus, 320 my review of the Galaxy Note 8, which I really loved. Phone show 321 had my review of the Pixel 2. Well, kind of started out as a thoughts piece. In my defense, it wasn't so much a review. I only had the access to the Pixel 2 for a short period. So it kind of started out as a thoughts on the Pixel and Pixel 2 XL, which then grew and grew and grew. And before I knew it, it was 2,500 words and demanded filming as well. So it turned out into a review thoughts piece rather than an in-depth piece. But there we are. Slightly more in-depth will be my comparison between the Pixel 2 XL and the iPhone 10, which I've got in hand for the last few days and certainly enjoying playing with both of them. So watch out for Phone Show 322. If you can keep the phone show on the air, do please think about joining the virtual Pint of Beer Month Club, tinyurl.com/PS promo if you're to meet us in the street. Would you buy me a beer? If so, please go there. We'll put the link in the show notes. And Ted, we give away a prize every single week to a random supporter. So a number, please, between 1 and 131.
1 and 131. And the number is 21.
21 is Adrian Brain. Well done, Adrian. I'll be in touch by email. You've won yourself a prize from the long, long list. tinyurl.com/PS promo. And I added a load of stuff there, including some iPhone 10 cases, just to show I'm up with the cool kids. So it's got some recent stuff in there as well. Ted, where are we going now? Picture of the week, stroke month on the phone show, yeah. Flickr group?
I'm hoping it's picture of the week because Richard is, again, AWOL. He can't get wherever he's staying in the world, he can't get a connection. So he's asked me to take over again. After Ahmed Bibars did a wonderful job last week doing that, I thought I'd have a go myself. And my choice this week is a photograph taken. It's a portrait of a dog, actually, taken by Gavin Fabiani Le Monde using his Google Pixel 2. And he's called it Sophie, which I presume is the name of the dog.
It is, yes. His rescue dog, yeah.
But I wanted to crop this into a square. Now, I don't know if you guys can have a look at this photograph, but the original was kind of oblong. Now, I know that that Gavin, I mean, this was a technical exercise as far as he was concerned to test out the camera, but and not a work of art. But I wanted really to make it into such, and I was a bit bugged by the background, so I wanted to crop it into a square, but I think it's a really well-executed portrait, and it captures the dog's face really beautifully. But I'll come back in a minute when you've mentioned what you want to say, both of you, and ask you a question about focusing, Steve.
A rather splendid dog portrait. Yes, and this selfie mode, or portrait mode on the Pixel 2, of course, it's designed around human faces, but as many people have proved, it does work rather well with other objects at about the right distance. And this is Gavin's rescue dog, his fourth Labrador, and very handsome lady she is too. Anthony, a nice photo?
Yeah, it is. It's amazing detail, actually, when you look at it. You can see all the hairs and everything. It's quite amazing what phone cameras can do these days.
Yeah, I just love this whole portraiture thing. I think it's really, really nice. And this was so well done. But there is something that I was going to ask you about, Steve, which maybe you would understand, is about the focusing plane. Because now, this might be a trick of software that Gavin has used, I don't know. But the nose of the dog is clearly in focus. Also, are the eyes of the dog in focus? The background is beautifully thrown out of focus, including the ears, but there's also hairs at the around the nose which are out of focus, and so the plane of focus seems to go from the nose to the eyes, but there are hairs also around that same plane which are not in focus. I don't quite understand that, do you?
Yeah, it is one of these bokeh faux depth of field tricks, as popularized by the likes of the iPhone dual camera devices. Google does it with a single camera, but basically, rather than have two separate cameras separated by a centimeter, they do it rather cleverly, just using the dual pixel sensors, where the pixels are really separated by a fraction of a millimeter. And yet using that across the whole sensor is enough to pull out enough depth information. And then they combine that with the fact that they've got this ISP going, and the algorithms to detect, for example, human faces, pets' faces, and I don't know, flower pots, whatever common things people photograph, and then they use that to extrapolate what to look for in the image. So in this case, the software would detect that it was a dog's face, and would look for the ears, look for the shape of the head, look for the nose, and would make sure those bits were kept crisp, and everything else would then have a faux but blurred background put on it. So it is a software trick, but I do agree with you; it works rather well here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a lovely picture, and I wish we could see more portraiture, as I think Richard has said in the past as well. The background is distracting, but as I say, this is not a piece of art. It's just interesting that what can be done, and I shall be looking forward to more stuff coming out of the Pixel 2 and the Pixel 2 XL, presumably, that they can do the same thing. Very nice photograph, and well done to Gavin for getting that out of the camera, however he's done it. Richard, hopefully he'll be back next week, so do keep him coming. Link in the show notes to the Flickr group if you're not already involved. And yes, as I say, hopefully Richard will be back next week.
It's fascinating, this idea, Anthony, of software recognizing what you're trying to take a photograph and applying optimizations. Do you remember the old days in the Microsoft Office world where Clippy would say, it looks like you're writing a letter, would you like some help? It's kind of like that. In this case, the software says, okay, it looks like you're taking a photograph of, say, a pint of beer, at sunset, and then applies the appropriate optimizations and camera parameters at capture time and at post-processing time to make it the perfect pint of beer at sunset. So in this case, the software is quite literally recognizing that it's a dog and looking at the lighting conditions and applying everything to make it the optimum portrait. It's just a really clever idea. And if you've got enough processing power, then you can do incredible things, really, in terms of the software doing all, having all the intelligence.
Absolutely, but I'm looking forward to the day when I don't need to take the picture at all, that I can just tell Google, you know what, I want a picture of me on a sunset beach with blue ocean in the background and my wife next to me, and it just produces the perfect image.
Did you see the recent Google event? They launched a kind of an always-on, always-snapping camera accessory, which you kind of, the idea is you leave it around your house pointing in a rough direction, and whenever it sees anything interesting happening, like a pet jumping around, your toddler doing something, or you walk into the room and doing a pose, anything remotely interesting, it automatically decides when to take the photographs and how to take them. And then later in the day, it presents you with, here are the highlights from your day. Now, in your case, you would have to actually go to the beach on with the blue waves and the blue sky in order for it to take all these shots automatically. But the facility is there for all this automatic snapping.
Yes, yeah, getting a little unnerving, the number of companies that want to put a camera in my bedroom, yeah, or looking at my front door. I'm sure they won't put it to bad use.
Anyway, there's lots of intelligence and clever things happening in the imaging world. So every time I think everything's plateaued, that 950 XL you mentioned earlier, in terms of hardware and the absolute perfect combination of OIS and optics and sensor, you thought, okay, that's it, nothing's going to beat it. But then along comes software techniques that can then take the bar even higher, potentially, and that's what we're looking forward to. So, interesting times. The classified ads, Ted. We had lots of people wanting to join the pseforum.co.uk this week, basically because eBay is getting such a bad reputation at the moment, unsurprisingly. You do have to apply to get in, but there's quite an easy capture question, and thanks to Kev Wright and David Rich and others for administrating the access process. So pscforum.co.uk, what's your five picks from the forum this week, Ted?
Okay, they are Sony Xperia Z5 Premium, unlocked, chrome, excellent condition, £185 or near offer, pounds that is. Galaxy Note 8, excellent condition, unlocked, £720, including delivery. And the LG G5, very good condition, unlocked, £175. The Motorola Moto Play 2, Moto 2 Play, 2 Play, Play 2, £299.
Isn't this the Z Play 2?
The Z Play 2, or the Z2 Play.
Oh, get on
anyway,
with it.
£299, including postage. And lastly, a mint condition, OnePlus 5, 128GB, unlocked, £410. There are my picks for the week. Anyone fancy any of that?
Anthony, I'm guessing the prices may put you off slightly because can you still do the sterling to the Canadian dollar conversion in your head?
Yeah, pretty much. So the one there that interests me would be the Note 8, because I've just learned that you can actually get an Alcantara cover for the Note 8. So that would tickle my Microsoft fancy once again, I think.
Okay, that Z Play 2 there. I mean, that is the one that did attract me because it had the bigger battery and headphone jack and so forth. Does that come with any mods? Do you know?
If you buy it from the seller here, it won't. But if you buy it from Motorola, you can get $379, I think it is. You get a wireless back chucked in, but nothing exciting. We're still waiting, for this power mod, the power boost mod, which is not coming. I've been saying this for months now, and I just wonder if we're ever going to see it. All of these outlets, including Clove and Amazon, Motorola's UK website, they just keep saying it's coming, yeah, maybe the end of October, maybe November, and this has been going on for months, which is a real shame. 3,500 mAh of battery, bigger than the standalone battery in the Key One as an extra battery, and it's not coming anyway.
Anthony, do you see many Motorola Zs and these Moto Mods over in Canada?
No, not really. They are available, but I certainly don't see them day-to-day use.
Are you attracted by the idea of just snapping on the Thunderbird style, snapping on the pod you want for the day ahead?
Well, you know, that's also part of the appeal of this Essential phone, is there's supposed to be a whole bunch of other add-ons and modules, yes, docks and things coming. So, that does appeal to me, but for me personally, I haven't seen it well executed yet.
What actually is available for Essential, all I've seen so far, is two pogo pins for a 360-degree camera. How much? Surely they can't do much with this two pogo pins.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, but the rumour mill seems to be that there's a whole bunch of extra devices coming out of Essential, and it's not just the handset. The handset is just part of the whole ecosystem.
I guess the future accessories and add-ons for the Essential must be sending data wirelessly and just using those pogo bins for power, which would kind of make sense. But then again, if you're just using wireless transfer, you could be any Bluetooth or Wi-Fi direct accessory, and it just happens in this case to be clipped on the top of your phone.
Yeah, true enough. But I think I heard that there's a dock coming, and that was part of the reason they didn't put wireless charging in, is that you would just could slide this in, and those pogo pins would connect and charge the device.
Okay. Well, my pick, Ted, from those five, I think I picked it last week, that LG G5, which seems to get cheaper and cheaper. If I just hang on at this weight, it'd be down to under £100. But the G5 unlocked, very good condition, £175 would be my pick.
What I want to know is when we're going to get an Essential phone available widely in Europe, because it does look quite interesting, I have to admit. And yes, if you go to the link in the show notes for the Essential phone, to their website, you will see that the dock is there, Anthony.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah, and so I think Steve's right. It's very limited at the moment. And they've got to pull their finger out to do it as well as Motorola have, to get as many things out there, because we're on second-generation stuff with Motorola now, regardless of what I just said about that particular one mod that I'm waiting for. But, I hope they do it well.
Actually, my pick, I've changed it. My pick is going to be Ted's BlackBerry Key 1 in silver, because that's going to be an incredible bargain, and it will also help Ted out. So, Ted, how much will your silver Key 1 be?
I would sell it now for $299.
There we are. You heard it here first.
Yeah, I was hoping for $349, but I don't think I'll get that now. So $299 is my old, my first generation silver one, certainly.
There we are. Absolutely.
We've got a quick app of the week if we've got time, Steve.
Yeah, go for it.
Ahmed Bibars, he was posting about Daily Art, which I downloaded and looks quite interesting. So link in the show notes to that. A healthy dose of art through displaying a new piece of art on your phone, taken from over 2,000 pieces of art each day, painting, photographs or sculpture, with a short article about it. He says that I like how it mentions the backstory, artist, and where it's currently displayed. The application consists of three tabs: your daily art, archive, and about. You can search the archive for artworks by name or piece or artist and share it out to social media if you want to. The app can be very informative and exciting for those who love art and the stories behind it. And it does look quite nice. It's very, it's a very, interesting and nice looking thing. And sure enough, on day one, it served me up with the piece of daily art, which was nice to look at. No, it doesn't do very much apart from that, but it's just interesting and gives you a bit of background. So thanks to Ahmed for that.
Yeah, and just along the same lines, just got me thinking. City Art Search, which you may have heard of, I think it's probably only available on Windows 10 Mobile, which kind of limits it to some of our audience. But I'm sure Anthony's tried this. It's a labour of love by someone that works at Microsoft. Commission, I think, is kind of a side project back in the Windows Phone 8 days, but there's now a full UWP version. But essentially, it's classic works of art geolocated across the world, wherever you can pick any spot in the world or where you are, and it shows you the art museums around you and the works of art in each one, along with captions and comments. And on top of all of that, it's totally free. And on top of that, you can set City Art searches as your little lock screen daily wallpaper. So it's a fabulous little program. Anthony, I presume you've tried this at some point?
No, so I haven't. I haven't tried this particular app. I've always been a fan of the Bing Daily Image myself, but I'm going to put this on my list and check it out right after the show.
And it is totally free. It won't cost you a penny.
Awesome. Of course, that's great. Windows 10 Mobile for you,
or a cent. I guess you have cents over
a cent,
there.
That's in right. Yeah.
Now, Ted, we've got the week coming up. I'm going to be sending the Pixel 2 XL over to you. So hopefully by the time you hear Ted's dulcet tones next week, he'll have had 3 or 4 days under his belt with the very latest, highest spec Pixel. Are you excited?
Yeah, absolutely. That would be fantastic. I do want, regardless of what I just said about the money, and it is just about the money, if it was half the price, there's no doubt I would be tempted into it like I was with the BlackBerry, you know. But, you know, it just seems stupid. But absolutely, laying that aside, I'm thoroughly looking forward to it. And for once, I'm actually encouraged to go out and try the camera and for myself and see how great it is. So, thanks very much.
Anthony, it does sound like you did have hands-on with the Pixel 2 XL. Any thoughts?
I was very tempted, but the reports of screen issues have put me off completely. So I will wait to see if anything changes or if anything improves, and maybe revisit it in the future.
Okay. Well, as I say, see the next phone show for my own thoughts on the Pixel 2 XL, because I have quite a lot to say. It started out, again, as a short X versus Y piece, and it's turned into about a 3,000-word review, which somehow I'm going to have to distill down into 10 minutes of video, but I'll give it a go. Thanks very much for coming on, Anthony. Remind people again where they can find you online.
Absolutely. So you can find me on Twitter. I'm fairly active there, so it's just at Anthony Fear.
And if you want to hear more of Anthony, of course, he is a regular guest on the All About Windows Phone podcast. So do check that out, allaboutwindowsphone.com. Ted, any last words from you?
Well, that amongst the other ones that are on Podhub UK, of course. All the audio podcasts that Steve and I are involved in and others, All About Windows Phone being one of them. So, yes, lots of stuff to chew over and listen to. And head across there. It's in the show notes, the link. And don't forget also to head for the Flickr group. Link in the show notes. Thanks to Richard for keeping that going, and for to Nick and Kev and Dave for their part in that too.
Well, if Ted sounds distracted, it's because I've just made him all giddy at the thought of a Pixel 2 XL arriving at his house in North Wales.
I've lost my train of thought completely. Just ignore me.
Anyway, thank you very much for listening. Thanks to the usual people, imaxrepairs.co.uk, Rafe, Richard, Kev, Nick, the other usual suspects. A cheery goodbye from my two co-hosts.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
And you'll find the show notes at stevelitchfield.com, also tinyurl.com/PS promo if you can keep it all on the air. You have been listening to the Phone Show Chat.